Welcome back, everybody, to AZ Update. I'm your host, Anthony Bartolo, and joined with me, as always, is...
Thomas Mauro.
Thomas, how's it going, sir?
Good, good. I can't complain. I'm a little bit tired. I used a lot of makeup to cover my black rings here. I also see that you're got a new haircut.
I learned the hard way. You know, I was getting frustrated. My hair was getting too long. I said, enough. I was tired, and I just went upstairs and cut my own hair. And, this is the result. Yes. Lesson learned. Don't do that again.
So I heard you had a fantastic week.
It was amazing. I absorbed and learned so much. Honored to have the opportunity to participate as well. Delivered two sessions, one with the Canadian sub, which was awesome. And you yourself, you had a Q&A going on.
Yes. So for the people who are new in the stream and haven't really seen anything what happened this week we had Microsoft Build, which was a 48 hours online conference for everyone free to join worldwide. And yes, so our whole team basically was involved into providing content, but also helping moderating sessions, answering questions, promoting it, helping people with different things. And yeah, so Sarah and I had a very interesting Q&A session about Azure Hybrid and Azure Management. And it was like scheduled for 30 minutes. And we got so many questions from people, which were absolutely fantastic. So we need to somehow create a follow-up blog post with all these questions. People are really, really interested in that.
And it was awesome because there was a large audience of IT professionals that were at Build, open for dialogue and conversation. It was great to see that interaction in terms of everybody was there to learn, everybody was there to share. And hats off, you know, to the Channel 9 team to pull this one off. You know, this was a big feat. This was addressing three time zones, 48 hours of, you know, dedicated programming specifically to this. Sonia Cuff actually was one of the hosts for the Australian segment, the 8 hours that Australia had taken over the feed. It was an enormous feat by everybody. Awesome that we had all had an opportunity to participate. My Q&A session was on artificial intelligence and ops role in artificial intelligence and how we are to participate and to collaborate with others in the organization in the adoption of machine learning, custom vision services, cognitive services. And, you know, it was great to see the interaction from IT professionals and system administrators around the world asking their questions in terms of the adoption of this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned it, like a big shout out to the team who produced all of that, especially the Channel 9 team and obviously everyone who was involved in helping that. I think they announced somewhere, there was this video explaining like the behind the scenes a little bit, which I just saw. And I think they talked about like a very short amount of time, like just a couple of weeks basically to pull this event together because it was planned as an in-person event, right, before. And now so they changed it to this virtual or massive virtual experience. So yeah, no, absolutely. Really loved, to be honest, be part of that. I expected for myself to have it a little bit more quieter because again, it's Build, it's developer focused, right? But turns out like there was also a lot of interest in like general in the technologies we are talking about.
Oh yeah, I think sleep was not going to happen this week. I had one presentation. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning that was delivered to the European time zone, which was awesome. And again, had great conversations. Did you see Scott Hanselman's keynote?
Yes, I did. I really loved it, to be honest.
Yeah, I did too.
This like the idea how they did the keynote, like with that Teams remote calling, it's awesome. I really love that. I have seen like TV shows doing like these episodes where they do like a Skype day on like every call everyone in Skype or something like that. It felt like a little bit of that. It felt like one of these shows, and it's absolutely was absolutely fun, and obviously some fantastic news as well.
Oh yeah, well just what I loved about it was just the use. So, you know, Scott running through the technologies, going into Windows Terminal, invoking, you know, applications, having people participate alongside Scott in terms of the showcasing of announcements in a real world scenario. So it's not just a slide behind Scott. This is actually him going through and walking day in the life of Scott Hanselman going through. I love the call out to Panos Panay and Panos saying, oh, you again. Okay, don't worry. the Surface Book 3 is going to have all the power that you've asked for. Like, and then Scott writing in Notepad of all things, this is going to take a while. We'll get back to you after this is done. It was great. It was comical. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
But it was Scott. What I loved about it was this is how Scott is. This is how Scott interacts. And it was amazing just to see this real world implementation of the technologies being announced in a fluid type of format.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I enjoyed it so much. Again, as you said, it was very entertaining as well. We got some great news, some great announcements, but also it was very entertaining. But also, by the way, we should not forget, and what I want to talk with you about it, is like Learn TV launched yesterday officially. I mean, it was already running with the build, with Microsoft Build, right? But since yesterday, it launched officially on the Microsoft Learn website.
And what's interesting is it was a transition, right? So we went from the 48 hours of build in a digital format and went directly into Learn TV. So what's awesome is the content that you saw at build will show up on Learn TV, content that our team, developer relations, has completed in previous months will show up on Learn TV. And how timely in respect to, you know, the situation that we're in. A lot of us are still in our houses, working from home. A great way to have that, you know, connection and have that, you know, constant stream of information made available. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and find the information elsewhere as well, but the fact that it'll be streaming on the TV, it's a great offering that we're now working with.
Yeah, when you said, like, you can also get, like, information from other channels, like, especially, like, from AC Update, from the AC Update show, right? I hope we really did not lose one of our viewers here from just switching to Learn TV. They are not live right now, I think. That's a recorded video, so you can watch that later. Stay here with us on AC Update.
Exciting news. Producer Pierre is working us a deal to have AZ Update show up on Learn TV next week. So if you're watching on YouTube, you will see us on YouTube. However, next Friday, you will see AZ Updates multi-streamed on YouTube and on MS Learn. We're being syndicated. Producer Pierre has just told us we're being syndicated.
That's like, I did not sign anything. So, yeah. So, I haven't seen an offer yet for our show to be on this, like, our amazing show. I have to, like, cover that again. To be on Microsoft Learn TV.
I don't have any Swiss francs, but I think I have some Canadian Tower money somewhere. I can send you an email.
That's fair. So, now, let's think we go into the news, because we have some very interesting announcements, obviously, and I think we could probably do another 48 hours of announcement if we wanted to, with the news we had this week, especially with Microsoft Build. So I know that you covered one super interesting one, which I was not aware of it until it was announced, and obviously a lot of people were kind of excited about this one, right?
A lot of people were excited about this one. This was the announcement of the Windows Package Manager preview client made available for command line, made available for, you know, to use the WinGet command to install applications like PowerToys or applications that are inside a store. This is a huge one because, and especially from an IT pro perspective, I can now create a script to automate the setup of a demo environment, let's say, for the developers to code on, or script out, you know, for the machines that I want to deploy, all from the command line and not requiring the GUI anymore. What was interesting, though, was the amount of conversation that occurred when this was presented, in the fact that, oh, finally, Windows is getting a package manager. Let's be clear here. This is a client. The Windows Package Manager has been around for a long time. PowerShell has its own install manager. The store is not going away. They all abide by the Package Manager. This is the client that resides for the command line to install applications. The other question that came up, you know, what about tools like Chocolately? They don't go away. This is, you know, a add-on. This is a, you know, add to. There's a great companion type solution that's available for WinGet to work with Chocolately in their implementation of the solution. So this is not, you know, coming in to compete. This is based on what you as IT professionals, you as developers have been asking for in terms of installation process, now made available through the command line for that automation script that you were, you know, desiring to create.
Yeah, no, I loved that one, to be honest. I'm really looking forward, especially also because it now has kind of like a trusted repository behind it, right? The thing was with all these other packages, I'm not saying anything bad about them, but it's like, especially with, think about it, if you're a developer in a corporate environment, you are also probably blocked to download from certain sources. But if it's an official Microsoft source, that might be different, right? So have you tried it out yet? Have you played with it?
So I tested
it out. You got time during this time.
I literally passed out at 6 p.m. yesterday. I was so tired. But when it was announced, I did go through and I did install PowerToys on my machine. And it was very simple, right? This is PowerToys you can install, Docker you can install. I haven't gone through the scripting mechanism as of yet. That's the next thing I want to do. I'm going to spin up a Hyper-V instance on my Windows 10 machine and then run a script to set up a test environment for testing for development, right? That's my next piece, which actually you wrote a blog post on your blog on how to get started. And, and definitely if you want to share that out in regards to how to just get set up installing the Windows Package Manager client for command line.
Yeah, absolutely. No, again, as you said, I can see here, I think probably all of us here just tried it out immediately, right? No, it's actually very simple. And again, like people who are watching this, currently we're still in preview. This is a very early preview of Winget. And so if you want to try it out, there's two options. First, you go to GitHub. You could go to GitHub and basically download the repository and then build it yourself, because guess what? It's open source. So the complete code for Winget, for the CLI, for the client is open source. So that's one thing you could do. Or you can join the Windows Insider program and the Insider program for the package manager and then get it from the store itself. So in that case, you can just simply go, it installs that client and you open up CMD, PowerShell, or maybe the new terminal to basically then go out and use Winget. But again, there's a good blog post out there from this guy living in Switzerland who describes all these steps, or obviously also the official one is pretty fine.
Okay, so let's continue on with the news. What's up next, Thomas?
So next up is something which probably a lot of people like did not really like push out in the news too much, right? But for us and for some of us, it was really a big deal. It was about Azure Stack. And this was just amazing, because we got, when we usually go out and with news and stuff like that, we usually get an email of what we are announcing, right? An internal email with a list of stuff or features of new services which you're announcing. And so when I saw this email, I saw like, I don't know how many lines of Azure Stack news, right? So we got a lot of news about Azure Stack this week, which make me super excited. And I know a lot of our customers who are running Azure Stack, especially Azure Stack Hub, they're going to be super excited about this too. Again, we could probably do just one AC update or two AC updates on what's new in Azure Stack. But here I have the official blog post from Natalia about what are all the different things they were talking about. And for me, I think, or for most of us, the largest announcements is one of about the container services we announced. So first of all, we announced the private preview for Azure Kubernetes Service, the Relay KS, on Azure Stack Hub, which people can apply to and basically say, hey, I want to be part of this. Now, be in mind, we already have the container engine on Azure Stack. So if you already want to run Kubernetes on Azure Stack, that's absolutely possible and GA, and we give you some extra features. But now with bringing the Azure Kubernetes Service resource provider to Azure Stack, we also get all the same like look and feel and the same features, the same commands you can run. You really get that consistency between the Azure AKS and then AKS on Azure Stack. That was one. And then the other one related to that, and I think that's also amazing, is the container registry. So we were wondering the Azure Container Registry, which we have usually in Azure as an Azure services, so you can also host it on Azure Stack Hub. And then the list goes on and on and on. And I'm not sure, Anthony, I mean, you're obviously dealing a lot with PowerShell and Azure as well. You're probably very much used to the AC update PowerShell module,
right?
Which is the new one. And I'm sure you still remember the Azure RM module.
I was going to make mention, how does that complement the RM offering?
Yeah. So when Azure Stack was built, we still had the Azure RM module. And so Azure Stack still had all the Azure RM modules. And this week at Build, they also announced that they're now going to have a version for the AC module, because that is also the one which obviously forward going supports all the new modules, new services, new features, and so on. And it also runs obviously in PowerShell Core. So that is great. So now when you wanted to interact with Azure Stack using PowerShell, you use the Azure RM module. Basically, you had to have a Windows box, right? And in Azure, we already had the AC module, so you could use PowerShell on Linux or macOS and then basically work against Azure. And now this is also a big thing. If you have an Azure Stack, this also works now with Azure Stack. And then we have a couple of different things. What I'm also looking forward to is a Azure Stack Hub administration experience from Azure Preview. So this is a mouthful, I agree. But basically what it allows you is to connect your Azure Stack, or especially if you have multiple Azure Stacks to Azure, and then see all the alerts in a single spot, right? So if you especially, like, let's say we have like customers, they probably run 10 Azure Stacks or 20 Azure Stacks. So those are all like isolated instances. And to make that like a better fit for them to manage all of these, we have now that new experience. And again, you can see the list goes on, support for Azure Arc AKS engine clusters. That is going to be a big one. So if you have your Kubernetes clusters on Azure Stack, you can connect them to Azure Arc. And then a lot of news from our OEMs and partners as well, which are building solutions, especially around GPU accelerated hardware, which will be in there. And again, I need to brief right now because there's so much going on. But again, we linked that blog post in our weekly AC update blog. So you can go out and check all the news from there.
Awesome. The whole aspect of Azure Arc is so compelling, in the fact that it's one pane of glass controlling and managing all your resources. You know, I don't have to go through third-party applications. All the third-party manufacturers and suppliers of technology are also building their hooks into their solutions to be managed through Azure Arc. It's, you know, such... I'm so in awe in terms of watching how the project is evolving and how the services are becoming more available, and the announcements made forward, you know, the whole piece now in terms of containers being managed, you know, holistically from Arc. It's so amazing just to see where we're going with this.
Yeah. Now imagine the thing, if you need a Kubernetes cluster, but you need it in your data center or at your on-prem location, wherever you need it. But then you want this AKS managed experience, right? We have in Azure. Now with Azure Stack Hub and the preview now, you can basically put that anywhere you want it, right? And then think about even further, if then at one point Azure Arc for Kubernetes clusters, which is also in the blog, can connect to that, and you get all these benefits coming together. I mean, I'm like really excited about this. Just like, then there's a ton of more features, right? There's a ton more we could talk about Azure Stack, but just this scenario, I mean, I talked to a lot of customers, and this one is definitely going to make a lot of people happy.
So shall we continue on with the news?
Yes, you have some interesting things to share about Windows, because obviously we are a developer company and Windows is an awesome product. So,
and I don't want to just say a developer company. I want to say that we are all technologists and we are all supporting organizations holistically in efforts that are either in development or in architecture. So, you know, definitely we are an organization that wants to support you for the benefit of the organization that you support. And this one is a big one. This is developing for all 1 billion Windows 10 devices and beyond. And the reason why this is big news is because of the fact that, hey, when you're building out applications for the Windows platform, I get it. What platform do you use? Do you use UWP? Do you use WinX64? You know, what is the platform of choice when you're building out your solution? So let's take this into consideration now. Project Reunion. The big news of Project Reunion is the combination now of APIs for both desktop and UWP applications. What does that mean? When developers are building out these applications now, they build out the foundation to adhere to both. The libraries, when building out the applications, adhere to both. This is important because of the fact that, you know, right now running my Windows Surface Book, Microsoft Surface Book 2, Panos, if you want to send us that 3, I'm still open for that one. Running my Surface Pro, these are desktop applications. The upcoming Surface Duo will be a UWP type of platform, but why should a developer have to build for both platforms? Where does this fall into the realm of IT professionals? In respect to IT professionals, now you're just managing one set of applications in terms of deployment of these applications to these devices, or sanctioning of this device, these applications can be installed on these devices, right? No longer worrying about, okay, so now I need to have the version for the desktop, the version for the phone, version for the tablet, on and on and on. That's all eliminated. The other piece that I wanted to highlight, and this was part of Scott Hanselman's keynote, was the availability now to run Linux GUI apps on a Windows Linux subsystem. This is another big one. So prior to, you know, the Windows Linux subsystem had the ability to run specific commands inside of Linux, and now the evolution of this service is now such that I can actually run GUI-type apps that are on Linux inside of Windows. So the example that was shown during the keynote was Scott was running GIMP on his machine, full GUI interface that was running on Linux inside of Windows. And everybody just, the jaws hit the floor in terms of where we're going with this Linux subsystem inside of Windows itself. Thomas, what do you think?
Yeah, so some super exciting news there. What I also want to highlight is you mentioned there is like now, or we mentioned like that there is a 1 billion or more than 1 billion like Windows 10 devices. What I also found very interesting, and I can't really remember the number, but maybe you know, is during Satya, during the keynote, he was also mentioning like that we see like some like really growing number in terms of usage, like this huge spike because of all like people probably also working now from home and doing stuff. We see a lot more Windows devices in the market being active and used for longer period of time. Again, I can't find the number, but that to me is also very great. So I really believe that this is, Windows is, I mean, always a great platform to develop for, right? I mean, if you can, you have basically 1 billion customers, which probably can install your app.
You got to do the Dr. Evil, 1 billion devices, right?
1 billion devices.
There you go. So what's been interesting about this is that I've been watching on YouTube the amount of videos that are coming online on how to build a PC. Techilas, part of our team, actually just is gone through her series in terms of building out her PC. And that's been interesting in respect to, you know, the adoption of Windows, the use of Windows, the surpassing of 1 billion devices. Yes, it's well beyond, you know, what we have for the Microsoft Surfaces line. But it's the whole adoption of, we're changing how we work. We're changing now. The fact that we're at home and the fact that we still need to do our daily activities requires us to have this type of equipment and type of machinery. Myself and yourself, we're all planning out and building on our own PCs for all the media and the video and all the other tasks that we traditionally did in studio to be done from home. And it's not just media; it's, you know, operations of different types of services and adoption of different types of services, all being done and managed from the houses now. Require this additional equipment. And so the uptake of all these videos now in terms of how to put together a PC, and this is how you build a media PC, and this is how you build a management PC, has been very interesting, but it is adding to the 1 billion Windows devices. And then later on, you know, in terms of the other devices that will be launched, that will be running Windows on a mobile device, Windows on a tablet, Windows on, all different types of form factors. It's just growing in terms of adoption, and it's awesome to see this availability and capability and the Linux piece, you know, running Linux GUI applications on the subsystem made available for Windows. I'm so intrigued as to where we're going to go from there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. Now, Windows becomes really it's like people don't give enough credit to the Windows team for what's going on in the past couple of years. What's going on? We add more and more to it, right? I mean, the other big announcement we had this week, which people also went nuts, basically was the Windows terminal. like the general availability of the Windows terminal. It was in preview for a while, I think almost for a year now. You were able to test it through the store or build it yourself from GitHub and try it out. And now it's like version 1.0 is out there. And so the team shared a blog here, again, adding all these new capabilities we have. So if you're an IT administrator or developer or anyone else who needs a command line to run in a shell or in a terminal, then the Windows terminal gives you that place, right? Don't get it wrong. This is not a replacement for PowerShell or CMD or WSL. It runs all of that, but it gives you cool features, like for example, like tabs, right? So you can now have multiple tabs, one with PowerShell, one with, for example, the Windows subsystem for Linux, one with CMD, and then you have a couple of other things you can do with that as well. And again, I don't want to go into all of that, but there's so many good improvements. It's also about text. So now like GPU accelerated text and stuff like that. But the best thing, to be honest, when it comes to that is like now we have emoji support in the console. So that for me really is the key thing about it. No, just kidding. But there's so many great things going on which you can add, right? Like syntax highlighting and stuff like that. So I'm, to be honest, since the first previews, I'm only using Windows Terminal. I don't see anything why I should still run this old CMD or PowerShell window, which was in there, right? I'm still running PowerShell, but now in the new terminal. And I think that for me really does it.
And the tabs for me is a awesome feature, and the fact that I can have PowerShell and I can have my other scriptlets that are available in the tabs. I can flip between the tabs when I'm trying to do complete operations. And it's so beneficial. And again, it's great to see where we're going and how we're taking the feedback from you that are adopting the services and building out these solutions. It's such an interesting time in technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you mentioned the thing you can do with it, and what for me also like the customization options, right? This was feedback from people all over again. They want to customize their shell for whatever they want to use it. So you can have custom background pictures, you can have split panes and stuff like that. You have like exactly what you want, and so you can set it up the way you want it. And again, the team is still listening to a lot of feedback. They're obviously not done yet, but they were still improving that. But it's actually, I just love what they did, right? And you can really do a lot with it. So if you haven't tried it out, go to the Microsoft Store or to the Windows Store, download it from there. Obviously, it's free. It runs on your Windows 10 machines, and you can basically run your stuff in there. You can also now, since the GA, downloaded it from GitHub and install it on your machine as well. So if you're in a corporate environment where the store is blocked or something like that, you can download the files directly from GitHub, and you don't need to build it or something like that. You can just download the release file as well. Good. So speaking of, by the way, some really cool stuff, and I want to just quickly highlight one thing, which is we usually don't talk too much about it, but it's Microsoft 365 feature, and it's called Microsoft Lists. And I'm a huge fan of lists, to be honest. So this is something the team was announcing. Let me share that here. Which, by the way, helps you to build these online lists and to organize different stuff. And it's like a centralized place for all your lists, right? I currently have different lists, some of them OneNote, some of them in Excel somewhere, some of them I do collaboration on. And then it's very hard to have different data types in these lists. And that's when I watched the video. I just highly encourage everyone to check this out. It's not something I think you can use today. They just announced it. But go out and read the blog post. It's also in our AC update blog. So that I'm a huge fan of, because that's going to help me personally a lot to be organized way better.
What about upcoming events? What events do we have planned in the next coming week?
So there's one thing, I mean, after build, obviously, that was the big one, which we had this week. And what is upcoming really is the Microsoft European Virtual Open Source Summit. So this one is focused on all of the open source community. And you can see here we have a couple of amazing speakers speaking there, doing the keynotes, like Nat Friedman, CEO of GitHub, Brandon Burns, Scott Hanselman, and many, many more, as you can see, not just from Microsoft, but also from our partners like Suzy, Canonical, I think we have people speaking. And so this one is going to be completely virtual as well. I highly recommend that you check this out, because this is all about what we are doing in the open source space there.
All right. And last but not least, our Microsoft Learn module of the week. We're actually going to be calling out a learning path this time. This is for the Azure Fundamentals learning path. A lot of questions came up in terms of where do we get started? You know, just saw this amazing keynote, just saw this amazing session at Build. Where do I get started to start learning about Azure and how to adopt the practices and services made available? Definitely check this out. You'll actually see some familiar faces in it as well, as a couple of us are actually on the fundamentals learning path in terms of videos explaining technologies. But this is your first step in terms of, if you've not played with Azure before, you can actually go through this learning path, and it's pretty comprehensive to get an understanding in terms of the services that are available, play in hands-on labs, in the adoption of services, and really, you know, start your journey for even if you wanted to take a step forward and do certification on Azure Fundamentals. This is your first great step to get that done.
Yeah.
Also, really quickly, we're going to do a shout out to all those that are in the chat room. We have JC Mills, we have Isadora, we have Andrew McCollum. Thank you all for participating in the chat room today. Thomas, it was a jam-packed episode. There was a lot of announcements. We knew this was going to happen. Closing words?
Just be excited about what's coming even further away, and check out Microsoft Learn TV, and obviously tune in next week for AC Update. Big shout out to you, Anthony, to in Canada, our producer, Pierre. Yeah.
Sounds good. If they want to follow you online, they'll follow you at Twitter on?
At Thomas Maurer.
And producer Pierre can be followed at Wired Canuck, and you can follow me at Wireless Life. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in today's show. We'll see you next Friday here on YouTube and on the new Microsoft Learn TV. Have a great week, everybody.